Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to go straight into my message for tonight. And I want you to pay attention. If you are trying to connect on Zoom, you are not getting, you can just go directly to Mixella and connect from there. But I don't want anybody to miss out tonight, because we are shifting gear in the direction of our prayers. This is day 7. And we want to thank God for the grace he has made available. We want to thank the Lord because he has not asked the children of Israel to seek him in vain. And we thank him. Miracles are already happening. Testimonies are already happening. Glory to God. And we thank God for what he's doing. Say, greater things will you see because I go on to my Father. That's what Jesus said. He said, greater things. That means whatever we have seen in the last 2 weeks, we've seen the deaf here. We've seen those who could not walk. We've seen them walk. We've seen people with several bone conditions and pain being healed. We've had testimonies of new jobs. And it's just day 7. Praise God. Now, in the name of Jesus, I declare as many of you that can hear my voice now. The power of God will travel with my voice. It will go into the atmosphere. Whatever you are trusting the Lord for, as you hear my voice now, in the name of Jesus, let it begin to come into your hands. Let it begin to come into your hands. As many of you that can hear my voice, you say amen and you believe and you type amen right now. Likatoba, please follow instructions. Sakupa rakata likadia. In the name of Jesus, the power of God is going through the airwaves. In the name of Jesus, for he sent his word and his word healed them and delivered men from their destructions. Whatever is the intention of the enemy for you to be disappointed in this season, in the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy by the decree of the prophets that your expectation is coming into your hands. You will hold it this time. It will not fail. It will not drop from your hands. You are going to hold it with your two hands. You are going to carry your expectation. That thing you have been praying for, that thing you have been trusting the Lord for, that which is heaven's intention for you. In this season, lekamadu lebara di sikiano. In the name of Jesus, that the eyes of your spirit will be opened, and you begin to see the provision of heaven for you. You begin to see the provision of heaven for you. In the name of Jesus, you will not be akalika borukadia. You will not be in the dark, as pertaining what the will of the Lord is. Listen to me. One of the mistakes that people make genuinely is to make a wrong decision simply because it is emotionally appealing. If your friend is going to a particular bus stop, and it makes a lot of sense because you have been friends for years, that may not be God's mind for you. That may not be the will of God for you. The ability to see beyond your emotions and to enter into the mind of God in every area of your life, now it is being released right now through the airwaves. You begin to come into that divine realization. In the name of Jesus. Salabaraka de lekedia. Now I want you to declare, Father, I receive more of you. I want you to declare, Father, I receive more of you. I want you to declare, Father, I receive more of you. Let my spirit capacity begin to stretch. Let my mental capacity begin to stretch. Let everything in me, my body, soul, and spirit, begin to stretch to receive more of you. That you begin to possess every part of my being, in my spirit, in my emotions, in my will, in my imaginations, in my thought patterns, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, declare, I receive more. Now declare, I receive more. Declare, I receive more. Say it with faith in your heart. I receive more. I receive more. I receive more in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Karaba kateliando suparia. Now I titled my exhortation today, The Spirit of Revelation. The Spirit of Revelation. And I'm going to be reading a number of scriptures to us. And I want you to please stay with me. In Ephesians chapter 1, and from verse 15. I'm going to read it all the way down to 18. Look at the scripture. Paul was saying, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What is this prayer? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his inheritance in Christ, of his inheritance in the saints." Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to bring something to your attention here in verse 17. That this particular operation that dispenses the spirit of wisdom and revelation is tied to two basic understandings. Number one is the revelation of the Godhood of God, of the Godhood of our Father. There are people who go online, there are people who write and who post on Instagram and say, "God is my Father." But it is not a revelation to them. Because when you begin to look into that expression, into that statement, that concept, you begin to understand that you cannot really understand the fatherhood of God until you understand the glory of the Father. That it is only as we begin to understand the glory of the Father that we are able to begin to understand what we know as the fatherhood of God. This is very basic, this is very fundamental, because people are praying, and sometimes we are violating very basic principles, but we don't really know where the mistake is coming from. When you begin to pray and you are asking God, "Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation," God wants you to get a good grasp, first of all, on the Godhood of the Father. The Godhood. That means that is when they say he is our Father, what they are saying is that not only must you see him as Father, you must see him as God. So that you must be able to tell that as God, he is the Lord and owner of everything. And that he is able to dispense his intention and his eternal counsels in any way he seems fit. So you must understand that he is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that for you to be able to come into this dimension, for you to be able to receive the Spirit without measure, you must come to the place where you are fully submitted as your God. What does it mean for you to recognize our Father as your God? It means that you begin to build your life, you build your decisions, you build everything that you do on that one statement. That you, just because something is popular, just because people are doing certain things and it seems popular now. Let me be very specific. Just because some people, you are not hurting nobody, somebody decides to go into Yahoo business or Yahoo, that's just basic fraud. Or as a lady, you decide to become very expressive in your manner of dressing. Nobody's going to put a gun to your head and say, "Don't be a criminal anymore." Nobody's going to put a gun to your head and say, don't dress properly. But you see, when you understand the godness of the fatherhood of God, when you begin to understand that when you say Father, you are actually talking about God, and you are talking about glory, then you understand that there are certain things within the context of that reality, not just because it is written in the Bible, but because now you know that you represent him in all you do. So it is not because it is trending, It is not because it is popular, but now you see yourself as the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is not just a statement you make on your status. It's not just a statement you make on Facebook. You begin to understand that indeed you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that what you do with your spirit, what you do with your mind, what you do with your will, what you do with your emotions, what you do with your body, impacts directly on the sacredness of that temple. I wish I'm talking to somebody now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you are hearing me clearly, please type and let me know, because we are about to go into something very deep here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, when I can stay on that particular verse, but I will not leave that verse if I just stay there. Praise God. So I'm going to do another teaching on this. And very soon, before the end of the year, we're going to be having our prophetic school, the advanced class. And I'm going to be talking a whole lot about operating in prophetic dimension. But today, I'm going to get a bit of that. And this one is like a basic class. So you got to pick your paper now and your pen, and you got to write. Okay, so I've just established to you that when you want to understand how the spirit of wisdom and revelation is being released, you must understand the godness of God. You must understand that He is the Father of glory. It is when you understand Him from these two templates that you can receive the spirit of revelation. You must understand that the spirit of revelation is one of the seven spirits that are before the Lord. So you cannot just receive it without being in the presence of the Lord. The scripture says we have been given access to come before Him boldly, so that we may receive grace and obtain mercy. So if you are someone that lives your life in the outer court, to live your life in the outer court means that you live your life and you anyhow you like, and you only relate with God when you need Him, like a transaction. You will not be able to walk in the spirit of revelation. And if perchance you find yourself operating in this, it will be just like a stroke of mercy. So tonight, I want you to understand that the glory of God is very sensitive. The glory of God is very tender. God does not share His glory with any man. God does not like to share space with any man. God, the scripture says, He is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. God doesn't want you telling somebody, I can't live without you. I can't live without you. I can't breathe without you. God doesn't share glory. Okay? Those are the things we tell our wives and we tell our, you know, but the truth of the matter is, hey, you shift to that level, you are already touching something. Okay, so, but hey, it's what it is. Amen. So somebody is going to go tell his wife, from today, I won't tell you, I can't breathe without you. But you know you can breathe without her. If something happens to her today or to your husband, I mean, you are going to breathe, you are going to move on, you are probably even going to remarry. So sometimes we say these things, but hey, just deal with it. Okay? Now, let me read one other scripture to you that will tie up what I have just read from Ephesians chapter 1. And then I begin to go into the meat of this particular message. Look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. In the third year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the house of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto... Oh my, I'm reading the wrong scripture. I meant to say chapter 9. Chapter 9, please, I beg your pardon. Go to chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the king, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, look at this. I, Daniel, understood by books, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And then I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayers and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Hallelujah. Now, there's something I want to bring out here. Now, the Lord had documented in Scripture that the Israelites were going to spend 70 years in the land of Babylon. Now, these guys were so engulfed with their sufferings that if not that Daniel had, stumbled upon the prophetic words that said that by 70 years they will be released, what would have happened is, is that the children of Israel would have spent more time in captivity. I'm saying this to say that a lazy Christian cannot fulfill the will of God. A lazy Christian cannot embrace the mandate of God. If a believer is that, if someone is here now and you are very comfortable, you're always making excuses, you do what you like, you don't take your destiny in your hands, you might find that at some point you may begin to struggle, you wonder, why has God abandoned me? Meanwhile, the Lord might have given you a particular impression or a revelation in time past to guide you, and you glossed over it. And some of these things will miss out on them in the place of complaining and grumbling. People miss out on divine revelation when they grumble. Hallelujah. So, what are we saying here? Daniel found where it was written because he was studying. Daniel did not see it by dreams or by revelation. And I hope you know that by the time Daniel got into Babylon as a slave, he was not a prophet. Everything you read about Daniel was how he came in from being a slave and he grew and developed to become a prophet. There are some of you listening to me right now. You have a prophetic mandate over your life. Some of you have very powerful anointings over your life. But you are yet to come into those things because there is no divine recognition. And God is speaking to you through books. It's not every time you are going to see a vision. Yeah, visions are very important, and that is one of the heart of this message tonight. But there are things you can discover by books. He said, I discovered when I read the books that we were not supposed to be here beyond 70 years. When Jesus was about to launch his ministry, the scripture said, he found where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you see why I say to you that a believer who is lazy, especially in the place of waiting upon the Lord, in the study of the word, in seeking the face of God, and in fellowship, such people usually miss out on a lot of blessings. Because that which the Lord has prepared to give to them, that which the Lord has prepared to put in their hands, sometimes it will come in a book form. Sometimes it will come when you just sit in fellowship with other believers. But when you choose to be a lone ranger, there are certain things that we never commit to us because God created us to depend on each other. Let me tell you three reasons why we need to pray and fast. Because in this particular case, our brother Daniel, he decided to pray and fast. Number one, why should we pray and fast? Because number one, we don't want to get into the new season in the flesh. When the Lord has said to you, I want to do this in your life, I want to bring you to a new season, you don't want to gamble, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you begin to operate in the flesh. If David had not been careful, he would have found that despite the fact he was anointed, he will find that he would have tried to kill Saul, thereby fulfilling the prophecy in the flesh. What now happens is that because he had now fulfilled the prophecy in the flesh, even the prophecy will develop stillbirth. It will become a stillbirth because that was not the way the Lord had determined that he was going to get the blessing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I hope some of you are listening to me right now. I believe this is going to help somebody. So why do we pray and fast? Number one, we pray because we don't want to get into our new season in the flesh. Number two, because we want to know the mind of God concerning the next step to pray, to take. This is very important. Whether you're a bishop, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a housewife, one of the reasons why we pray and we fast, like Daniel did, is to know the next step that we need to take. Look at what our brother Daniel said here. Hallelujah. Look at what Daniel said. He said, I set my face to seek by prayer, supplication, and sackcloth and ashes. What was he seeking for? A way for the people. A way for the people. A way for the people. Why do we wait upon the Lord? So that we can find a way for the people. We can know what God wants us to do. Number three, we pray and fast because knowing the will of God on a matter doesn't necessarily guarantee that it will be done. But prayers, these are the vehicles that pave the way for the God's will to be done. Let me read that again to you. We pray and fast because knowing the will of God, like in the case of Daniel, he read in the books where it was written that they were appointed 70 years. But reading that material or finding out that particular information was not sufficient. So he needed to enter into a level of prayer and fasting. Now, how was Daniel able to manipulate around this particular reality? Listen to me. If you study the life of Daniel, one of the things you will find is that every time he spent time praying, he always came back with revelations. Every time he prays, and this I have found to be true of extremely prayerful people. And please, there are levels in prayer. There's a difference between when you are doing a vigil because of your problems, and there is another level when you are holding vigils for you to be close to God. This second one is the one that guarantees a ceaseless flow of revelation. And I want you to please hear me clearly. That you have known the mind of God or the will of God does not guarantee that the will of God will be done. Every divine intention requires a particular sacrifice that must be offered. It requires a particular decision that needs to be made. It requires a particular step that needs to be taken. And in order for you not to take that step in the flesh, you need to go before the Lord in the place of prayer. Now, what I'm saying here is that when you begin to pray and you begin to fast, the Lord answers us by giving us revelations. And that's why I said this message is titled Spirit of Revelation. The Lord answers us by giving us revelations. And I want to give you at least three basic ways that those revelations come. Three basic ways that those revelations come. The first pattern of revelation you will get as a believer, if you're a young person in Christ, even if you are matured, you get to experience it often, is through impressions. You're praying and you are seeking the face of the Lord about a particular matter, and all of a sudden you start getting certain impressions. You begin to sense in your spirit, you begin to, like you are picking some kind of signals. You begin to pick something, you have this impression. Oh, don't go into that business, deal with that person. It's not a voice per se. It's actually the voice of God, but it's coming like an impression. It's coming after you have prayed. It's coming after you have sought the face of God, and you begin to have these impressions. So these are basic levels of revelation. Sometimes when we minister in the prophetic gift, a lot of prophets minister this way. Because when your mind becomes sanctified, you get sanctified impressions. Please understand what I'm saying, and I want you to note it. Because some of you are having some experiences, but you don't know how to explain them. So you have these impressions, and later when that thing happens, you're like, wow, but this thing came to my mind. Yes, it was God is trying to tell you that you have an ability to sense things, to know things, but you need to develop it by extensive praying in the Holy Ghost. If you develop, you can develop yourself in this particular area by praying in tongue for hours regularly. If you do this often, you will find that your ability to pick spiritual impressions will be sharper and you will be near perfect at it. Number two, You have these flashes. Maybe you are praying, or after you've prayed, just have this flash, these images, they just flash through your mind. That's another level of basic manifestations of revelation. It is not only the devil that speaks in this way. It is one of the ways your soul understands spiritual data. It processes spiritual data. You have this impression. Sometimes, for those of us who minister, you minister, you just see a flash. And God begins to tell you that there's a particular person in that place. For instance, last Sunday, we were in church, and then I said there was somebody that had hearing conditions. But what actually happened to me is that I saw it in that kind of a flash. Some people like to call it a mini vision, but generally people know it as a flash. So you find that people have these images that go through their minds, they go through their, it just flashes like in a second, but it's very detailed. Now again, God can speak through this method. Your mind can play tricks on you. The key here is to present your mind daily to the Lord. To present your emotions daily to the Lord. To present your imagination daily to the Lord. You sanctify it by the word of God. So when you see the Lord saying to us through the Apostle Paul that we should renew our mind by the word of God, it is because God intends to use our mind as tools of communication and processing of data. Number three, you can get some of these superimposed thoughts. I'm talking about basic manifestations of revelation. You can get superimposed thoughts. You could be talking to somebody and just have this thought that keeps superimposing. And later you look at it, you find that God is talking to you. Now, many know, a lot of people, including non-Christians, they know that prayer is a powerful tool for believers. Everybody agrees on that one. They know that prayer is a tool, it's a powerful tool of believers. But many do not know that when you operate in revelations, your prayers become atomic in operation. When everybody prays, but when you become inspired by the Holy Spirit, when you begin to operate in revelation gifts, when you begin to operate in revelation knowledge, when you are praying and you are seeking the Lord, and the Lord is giving you some of these promptings in your heart, is giving you some of these flashes, it makes your prayers more fruitful. It makes your prayers more powerful. It makes your prayers atomic. The impact of your prayer, because you are going straight to the target. For instance, you could be praying and you're asking the Lord, Father, open the eyes of my spirit, cause me to be able to know your will. Then God begins to bring into your heart or into your mind a particular information and say, look, when your parents used to belong to a long line of herbalists, that means that by blood transfer, you are entitled to operate at that level. So the Lord tells you to begin to rededicate your eyes, to rededicate your soul to him and not to these altars. So now this is coming. You didn't think of it before, but it came to you while you were praying. So you are now able to pray directly. You are able to hit the nail on the head because you are being guided by the force of revelation. When we come back on Friday night, we are going to spend some time praying about the spirit of revelation. We are also going to be praying for healing this Friday and supernatural open doors opportunities. So it is important for us to operate in revelation. When you operate in revelation, your prayers become atomic. Now, let us look at the benefits of operating in revelations. The benefits of operating in revelation, number one, revelation helps you pray fervently. There's a way you pray, but when your eyes become open, you begin to pray in a different way. When the Lord is speaking to your heart and is guiding that prayer transaction, you begin to pray in a very different way. Number two, prayer makes a man interact strongly in the spirit realm. Now listen to me, the spirit realm is a very open space. And in fact, there are different layers. You have the dream realm. You have the satanic realm. You have God's kingdom. You have God's throne room. There are so many realms in the spirit realm. So many parts of the spirit realm. So for you to be able to interact properly and effectively, you need revelation. Because you are on this side of eternity, you can't see what is going on the other side. But when the Lord begins to give you revelation knowledge, you are able to prayerfully engage. You are able to prayerfully engage. One of the things you would notice was when our Lord Jesus was in the wilderness on his 40 days fast, the enemy came and tried to deceive him. How did Jesus know that it was the enemy? Because he was operating in revelation. Somebody else could have had the same impression and he would have thought it was his mind. I hope you know the devil didn't come to him physically. So he came to him in his mind, he came to him in the spirit. So Jesus was able to detect that transaction, that it was from the enemy, because he was operating in the spirit. In Revelation chapter 4, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So, and the moment he entered into the spirit realm, he began to see and he began to hear. So it is not you trying to force yourself to hear something. It's not you trying to force yourself to see something. When you break through that barrier, that ceiling, that thing that separates our realm from that realm, when you pray yourself through and you break through that realm, you will see things and you will hear things. I declare in the name of Jesus, as many people that are spiritually blind here, as many people that are spiritually deaf here, as many as are hearing me now, but you don't hear God often, those blindfolds are removed immediately. In the name of Jesus. Those blindfolds are removed immediately. In the name of Jesus. Number three, revelation helps a man identify the underlying cause of a problem. If you are dealing with a particular situation and you don't really know what the real situation is, when you begin to pray and the revelation gifts begin to operate, one of the things you will notice is that you are able to trace the problem to its source. I remember about 2 years ago, I was ministering to a particular lady who had come for a particular case. And before she started talking, the Lord spoke to me and he showed me a closed vision. There's something that is known as a closed vision. He showed me a closed vision. And in that vision, I could see the lady's house somewhere in the middle belt. And I could see the compound, and the Lord showed me a particular idol that was being worshipped in that family. And the Lord said, the matter that she has brought here today is not really the major issue. The major issue is that some time ago, our forefathers brought an idol into that house. And that idol requires that every child born there, especially the ladies, must be dedicated to that altar. And because she's not spiritually strong, she's not skilled in the doctrine of righteousness, so she was living under a curse, under the influence of a spiritual husband that would come to her in a dream. It was when I began to speak to her, she confirmed that they had that thing, and that the last person who tried to oppose it went blind in the family. So revelation helps you see the real cause of your problem. Number four. Revelation helps identify future problems and to avoid it. When the gifts of revelation are in operation, you are able to see a future problem. You are able to see that my relationship with this particular business partner looks like it's going to have some issues in the future. So you are being careful. My relationship with this particular sister or this particular brother might develop complications. I need to be careful. So it helps you identify future problems, and also helps gives you the wisdom to avoid it. Number five, revelation helps identify spirits that are prevalent in an area. You could go into a particular area, or you are visiting a particular city. For those of us that have to stay in hotels often, you don't know the last person that was there. I went for a particular crusade in a particular state. I won't mention that state. But when I got there, they welcomed me, the church or the network of churches that brought me, they welcomed me. I was happy. They put me in a room. And then I decided to open the fridge. And I found raw weed in the fridge. which was a complimentary gift for me. Igbo, if you are in Nigeria, you understand what Igbo is. They left me something for my visit, you know. So they left, it was quite, I mean, like, I was there with a few people. All of us could have taken turns to have enjoyed ourselves. Okay? So it's just the same thing. It's just the same thing. So the gift of revelation helps you identify the spirits in an area. I couldn't sleep that night because by night the spirits came. And while they were beating their drums and playing the loud music, I couldn't sleep. And then the other church people expected me to come preach and deliver the anointing. How do you deliver the anointing when you can't sleep and everywhere is reeking of weed? You know? So this is very, very important. When you go to a place, try to forensically analyze that place in your spirit. When you are going to your in-law's house, maybe you are planning to get married, use your spirit to analyze the area from the beginning of the street. Don't just assume that things are okay. Sometimes it is this desire for pleasure and pleasure, you know, enjoyment and pleasure that trips off or shuts down our ability to pick things spiritually. You can go into an office and you notice that there's a spirit of fear and depression in the atmosphere. So revelation helps you with that. Now, number six, and I'll stop here. Revelation brings warnings. Through the gifts of revelation, God can give you warnings. He can warn you, don't go to that particular place. Don't do this, don't do that. Now, let me quickly talk to you about, I'm not sure if I can finish this thing today, advanced manifestation of revelation. I'm talking about some of the very profound abilities that you can operate or do, things you can do what revelation can help you do in a very advanced way. Number one is that you can identify advanced manifestation of revelations can be caught via exposure to a strong prophetic atmosphere. Listen to me as I'm speaking now. I am not just speaking in capacity of a pastor. I speak in the full weight of my calling. So what I'm saying is that if there's someone in this meeting that sincerely believes and wants to know the mind of God, you can, under this atmosphere, the spirit of the prophet can come upon you, even if it's temporarily. It can come upon you and you can become exposed to a prophetic. And this has happened in the last two or three services we've had at our Maryland church. And even last Sunday in our Lekki and Gbagada Center. It's a strong exposure to a strong prophetic anointing. So it is an advanced manifestation. Number two, you have another advanced manifestation in intense you can get into an advanced manifestation through intense and prolonged fasting and prayer. For instance, now we are waiting on the Lord for 31 days. Some are doing 21 days. If you do it with all your heart, you can begin to engage in a higher level of prophetic manifestations. Listen to me. You need not just the basic manifestations, you need the higher manifestations, the advanced ones. So, and you get this through intense and prolonged fasting and prayer. For instance, we are praying 6 to 7 p.m. every evening, but you can decide to, you know, go on, you know, pray with your friend an extra 2 hours. What I've noticed is that God has a way of rewarding those who wait on Him. God has a way of rewarding those who wait on the Lord. And this is so, so, so important. If you wait on the Lord for 30 minutes, if you pray for 30 minutes, please understand, you cannot get the same result as someone who prayed for 4 hours, especially if that person was praying in the strength of revelations. Okay? These things are very important. And these things have been given to everybody. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're just an ordinary believer, the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, "Say, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And my sons and my daughters will prophesy. My young men will see visions and my old men will dream." That means that the end time church is a prophetic church. The end time church is flowing with prophetic power. Glory to God. And that means that it is your portion. You don't have to miss out on this. It is your portion. Number three, advanced manifestations of revelation can be caught by receiving the gifts of dreams, visions, and prophecy. Advanced manifestations of revelation can be caught by receiving the gifts of dreams, visions, and prophecy, either by asking the Holy Spirit or by impartation. This is very, very important. So you can receive advanced manifestation if, for instance, you know somebody who is operating it through the laying of hands, or by sitting under that particular anointing, you can begin to operate in that type of grace. I was listening to a man by the name Tracy Cook. Tracy Cook was just a young believer trying to find his way. And then he had gone for a meeting. And in that meeting, you know, he met the man, one of the spiritual sons of William Branham. That man had inherited the mantle of William Branham. And in that meeting, the man said to him, "Kneel down, I want to pray for you." And the man laid hands on him and said, "Just as was given to me by my spiritual father, I now release to you the ministry and the gift of the prophet. You will begin to see things, you will know things, you will hear names, you will know addresses, you will know phone numbers, you will know details about people's life. And as you know those things, people are going to be healed, saved, and delivered." Now, before now, this man, Tracy Cook, had not operated in this thing before. But he said after the laying of hands, it started immediately. So you can get these things by impartation. You can get them by asking the Holy Spirit. Number four, you can covet higher manifestations by coveting the gifts of the Spirit. You can covet higher manifestations by coveting the gifts of Spirit. If you see the gift of Spirit, the Bible says, covet earnestly the best gift. So as you see these things and you begin to desire it and begin to covet it, the Holy Spirit begins to answer your prayers. Now, it is one thing to receive, if this is making sense to you, please type something. If it's making sense, I need to be sure I'm talking to the right set of people. Just go to the chat room and type something. I need to be sure I'm helping somebody here. Now, a spiritual gift, getting a spiritual gift is one thing. Sustaining and growing that gift is another thing. Thank you, sir. I repeat, getting a spiritual gift or an ability like operating in dreams and visions and impressions and close visions is one thing. But being able to sustain that gift and develop it is another thing. And how do you develop your gift? Number one, by extensive praying. You pray, spending time in the presence of the Lord. And this includes by praying in tongues. And what I have done personally in my life is that when I pray, especially concerning my area of gifting, I put my mind and I focus on that particular gift. And I begin to pray in tongues. And I could do that for 1 hour. I could do that for 2 hours. I just focus on it. The more focus amplifies depth. And focus sharpens your gift. Whatever you focus on, you sharpen it, you amplify it. So this is very, very important. Whatever you focus on, so when you pray in tongues, don't just pray in tongues absent-mindedly. You focus, you put your mind and your heart on that particular thing, that operation of the Spirit. Number two, by fasting. There are certain, and I've also noticed this in my life, that there are certain times, for instance, when I operate in a particular gift, but those gifts become more enhanced, they become stronger when you fast and you pray. So you don't want to miss out on that opportunity. Even now, today is the seventh day, as we wait on the Lord, you can take at least 7 days out of this fasting and praying to speak over your gift, to pray in tongues over your gift. This is so important. We are going to be doing this on Friday by 10 p.m. Number three, You can sustain the and develop your gift through exposing your spirit and your mind to the Word of God. When you feed your mind and your heart with the Word of God, you are creating a natural habitat for your spiritual abilities to flourish. Number four, you are talking about fellowship. Listen to me. Your gift rarely operates in isolation. Your gift rarely operates in isolation. So you want to take a benefit of fellowship. I remember in the book of Acts chapter 13, I think it was Acts chapter 13, where there were teachers and prophets, and they were praying, and it was while they were praying that a prophecy came forth for Paul and say, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them." So that gift operated because they were in church, they were in fellowship. There are people that don't come to church, and then they are like, "Ah, Pastor, I missed the service. What's the Lord say? How do you expect me to know? You are not there, you are not there." Okay, it's just like not sitting for an exam. If you don't sit for an exam, and then you're not calling the lecturer, what do you want him to do? So fellowship is very important. You can sustain a gift by being in fellowship. Now, I don't know, I still have I still have about 2 pages, but I can't finish this. Let me just chip in this. I wanted to share with us something on prophetic codes. Prophetic codes, but I don't know, maybe I have to move that to another session when I share with you here. But please permit me to say this. When the Lord begins to reveal things to you, whether through flashes or through your heart, He reveals it, close vision, or you're having a trance, many times those things you see, those visuals, they will come in codes. That means they will come in parables. One of the mistakes you can make is to attempt to interpret what the Lord is showing you in this month of prayer in the flesh. You can see something. You can see somebody holding a cutlass over your head. It doesn't mean the person wants to kill you. So people receive revelations, then they go to some other person who didn't get that revelation and say, "Oh, help me interpret my vision. Help me interpret my dreams." That is a wrong model to follow. If God revealed something to you, He has capacity to bring the meaning to you. This is why many people who are prophetic never develop, because they're always running to people for interpretation. You should be able to do some first aid for yourself and then try to see, you know, what you can make out of it. Then later you can now ask for guidance. So I'm going to come back and still going to tell you a bit about protocols. Let me also add this so that you can get this benefit, is that God deliberately conceals revelation. He conceals the information He puts in, He shows you in a dream. He conceals it. You can see yourself talking to a sheep. You can see yourself talking to a lion. You can see yourself in front of a cross in a vision, and there might not even be any word. God conceals revelation in those things so that we can begin to seek Him for guidance. You see, when Daniel saw that the people were appointed 70 years, he didn't just run away and say, "We are going to be free in 70 years." He began to pray and began to seek the Lord, and he began to repent before the Lord. So there's a sense in which if you want to avoid adulteration, if you want to avoid the loss of vital information that is being given in the revelation, you have to learn how to go back to God to get guidance as pertaining what you are being shown. Okay, let me say this finally on this aspect of prophetic codes, and then we are going to close. Please lay it in mind that when we come back Friday, 10 p.m., we are going to be praying about some of these things. So you come, I prefer God to reveal some of your problems to you, or some of the things you need to do, let Him reveal it to you. If not, people can innocently miss out on their blessing. Now look at this particular man, Daniel. There was a time the king said, "If you cannot interpret my dreams, you are going to be killed." And they tried to kill Daniel. Daniel said, "Look, give me one night." And this I'm talking about the power of a night. I have noticed that many people who operate very powerfully in revelations, they pray at night. I've noticed that many people, I'm not just talking about somebody who dreams, so because you have to be sleeping to dream. I'm talking about somebody who operates very powerfully in all kinds of revelation. They are men of the night. Daniel said, "Give me one night." And Daniel didn't sleep. He started praying. There's something about praying at night. Jesus was always praying at night. Please, you need to understand how this anointing thing works. You can't be eating and adding weight and saying it's the glory of God. There are certain things your anointing does not like overeating, like overplaying. Okay? So when God has given you a gift of revelation, you want to engage the force of praying in the night. Daniel prayed at night, and God showed him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Now, I know you may be busy, but I do recommend that maybe if you want to pray at night, maybe on a Friday night, when you know you're not going to work the next day, and you can go ahead and, you know, from 12 to 2 a.m., 11 to 2 a.m., or if you are able, you go to 3 a.m. I notice there's something particular about praying at night that amplifies your ability to see visions, to operate in prophetic revelations, and to gain understanding. Because Daniel didn't just see the problem of the king, he also got understanding. There is a very neglected spirit that is given to prophets. It's called the spirit of understanding. This is in Isaiah chapter 11, the spirit of understanding. Those are the things we are going to be praying about when we come on Friday. So I want you to get ready. Now, in the name of Jesus, in 1 minute, I want you to pray in tongues and begin to internalize the things that you have heard. Begin to pray in tongues. 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 Ye katali barakataria. E rabakatali bakushiala. E dekedekedia. Allah sala. E rabakuzilia. E dabara taka zilekada. E shirabadolo zuperia katiza. E brakataka ligaduza. E karabatulia. Kakatu kutoku zukotia. E brashata legedegedegediaga. Ebra soko tolo bro shikada karakasia. Ebra sute likatase yakatala. Ebra shita likata. As you are praying in 1 minute, I want you to begin to see the flow of revelation coming into your spirit clearly without hindrance. I want you to see the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through you right now without hindrance. Sika liba. I want you to see it as you are praying now. Begin to see that you are able to hear clearly in the spirit. You are able to see clearly in the spirit. You are able to operate strongly in the spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now we're going to come back on, because I know there are a lot of dreamers here. There are a lot of people who operate in visions. But it is time for you to begin to operate in it on a consistent basis. So on Friday when we come, 10 p.m., we're going to be praying and trusting the Lord for entrance to open unto us the floodgates of revelation. And I declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, as many of you that are believing and you have believed this message, that the hand of God will cause this word now to begin to bring forth a performance. That the word of God will bring a strong performance into your life of these words that you have heard. That in the name of Jesus Christ, you begin to operate at a premium level. Amen. You will no more operate at a very basic level. You begin to operate at a very from a point of advantage. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. And it is well with you in Jesus' name. Now, if you are joining us on Mixlr, I want you to please go ahead and follow our channel so that you can always get our notifications whenever we're online. Tomorrow, we are also going to be here 6:30 a.m. on Mixlr. We're going to be praying for 30 minutes, 6 to 7, and we are going to be praying in the spirit, we are going to be stretching, we are going to be seeking the face of the Lord. So you want to join us 6:30 to 7 tomorrow, and then 6 to 7 p.m. we are going to be back here on all our social media platforms, on Zoom, on Mixlr, on Facebook, and on YouTube. So it's going to be a very powerful time. But tonight, this message is already on all our platforms, so you can go back and watch it. We are also going to put this audio message on our Telegram group so that you can download it and listen to it as you are listening, be praying. That's how to pray. Some people say they can't pray for 1 hour. Put on a message or put on a spiritual song or a chant. I like to use some of our popular musicians, say Victoria Reza and all of that. And you could be playing it for 3 hours and you are just praying. So sometimes you need to ask those who are doing it how they do it. Praise God. So You can start tonight, but right now after this message, we're going to put the message on our Telegram group so you can download it. Listen to it again. I try to simplify this thing so that I won't miss out on anybody, but it's actually a bit quite advanced. So the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. We are going to be back tomorrow again to pray. Send these links out to your friends. On Friday, we are going to have a healing session at the vigil. And on Friday, we are going to be having our evening meeting for just 45 minutes. And this is just to allow us some time to rest before we start the prayer meeting by 10. So we are going to be ministering to the sick. We are going to be ministering to people with all kinds of marital delay and all of that, if the Lord allows us. And things are going to happen. So please tell your friends to join in. Those who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb should also join that vigil. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. I commend you to the grace of God and to the word of his grace that is able to keep you and give you an inheritance among the saints. And that is what will keep you, perfect you. And that these words that are spoken today, if they truly be from the Lord, then they will begin to operate in your life, bringing forth fruits of 30, 60, 100 in the name of Jesus. That amongst us here, the Lord will raise greater than Daniel's. The Lord will raise greater than John the Baptist. The Lord will raise greater than Paul's. That will begin to operate in revelation knowledge and will no more be in the darkness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, if you